Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Answers for the Family will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I would really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. And I guarantee you, we can all benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive difference. Now, before we get to our guest, I want you to know that I am grateful to all of you to take your precious time to listen to or watch this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, and reviews, and suggestions, because without your suggestions, we don't know if we're nailing it or not. So please remember, this show exists for you. Now, if you haven't gotten a free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answersforthefamily.com and download a copy. Give it 21 days and then comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, a quote, although not from the journal, is by Eric Erickson, which says, "Life doesn't make any sense without interdependence. We need each other, and the sooner we learn that, the better for all of us." Now, that's a quote that applies, I believe, to all of us. And I'm going to add something, and if you agree, please share it with everyone you can, especially those who you may have lost touch with because of differences of belief, because unfortunately we know that there's a lot of information being put out there that's trying to divide people. So, if you want to, if you're driving, you can't write this down or whatever, but please, you can go to our Answers for the Family Facebook page, and I'll put it on there as well. But this one reads, "Anyone or any group that promotes hate or divisiveness is not looking out for you." Okay, look not to those that tell you to hate. Look at those that are the ones that are telling you to hate, and ask why they would choose to spread poison rather than love, kindness, and just spiritual debate. That one is by me. So in these particular times, I would really like it if everybody can just take the time and realize that you have loved ones that you care about, spend time with them, have spirited debate, but don't allow the things on the outside to be making these changes in you. And with that in mind, our topic today is men's emotional health and healing. And I think right now, this is certainly a time in which a lot of us are being challenged, and 2020 remains a challenging year for everyone. And now more than ever, men of all ages need practical advice on how to approach their thoughts, their emotions, their relationships, and their work-life relationship, how to do that in a healthy way, rather than defaulting to unhealthy habits that some men tend to gravitate towards, such as excessive alcohol consumption, drug use, just getting angry, or just shutting down. We're going to discuss practical strategies to navigate during these unprecedented times. Now, joining us to discuss this and more, Blake D. Bauer is the author of the international best-selling book, You Were Not Born to Suffer. And each year, Blake helps thousands of people who cannot find effective support from conventional psychology, medicine, or religion. Blake is a world-renowned teacher and speaker with an extensive background in psychology, alternative medicine, nutrition, traditional healing, and mindfulness meditation. Now, based on his personal experience overcoming deep suffering, addiction, and adversity, as well as his professional success. With over 100,000 people worldwide, Blake's pioneering work integrates what he's found to be the most effective approaches to optimal mental, emotional, and physical health. Blake, welcome back to Answers for the Family.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. And when I was speaking with Jan and she said that you'd have this time for us, I thought, you know, what better time than right now, where there is so much going on that is adding so much anxiety to people's lives on so many different levels, to be able to have you on, to be able to kind of bring some sanity to all of this, or at the very least, give us some tools to be able to see ourselves. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for having me. I thought the introduction and, you know, everything that you shared about interdependency and what we're going through right now and that schism between love and hate is just such an important conversation to be having right now, because who knows what the next few weeks is going to bring.
Exactly. So one of the things I want to start with, because with the introduction, I talked about the fact that we're going to be focusing more on men. And we had a recent show in which we focused more on women, we focused more on girls. And I really thought that at this point, that if we could get men to understand that we're, you know, that we're different, that we approach things differently. And if you could share a little bit really as to why it's so important for men to learn that expressing their emotions or needs is not a form of weakness.
Well, it's such an important question, Alan. And I know you as a man, as a father, you know, as a son, and I think you have two boys, if I recall. So I know that this topic's close to home for you as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that the topic of understanding the importance of, you know, talking about our feelings, getting to understand our emotions, getting to understand our needs, and being able to communicate them effectively is probably the single most important topic we could talk about. Because as men, all of our dysfunctional and toxic behaviors come from not knowing how to do that. And that's because, you know, as you know, growing up, we didn't have a lot of good examples of how to express ourselves in a healthy way. And then as time has, you know, progressed and we live in a more progressive time, men get a lot of mixed signals around mm-hmm. what is a healthy form of masculinity, what does strength look like as a man, and then women who, you know, feel that they need a man who is maybe more vulnerable or more emotional, you know, how much is too much? I always joke with women, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for, because you want a guy to open up. And then sometimes they start opening up and they don't know what to do with it. And then everybody shuts back down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we were all sold a story that's very destructive around, you know, showing emotion as being a form of weakness. And I think we're growing into a new paradigm where being vulnerable is actually strength. And coming back to that topic of that, you know, cultivating and spreading love versus hate, you know, if our heart's not open and we can't be vulnerable, we can't be there for our families, we can't be there for our partners, we can't be there for friends. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, the other thing that popped into my head as you were introducing the show was this, the saying that, you know, no man is an island. But I think that a lot of men, we feel alone because we don't know how to talk about our feelings and we don't know how to express how much responsibility and weight we carry on our shoulders, you know, worrying about our partners, worrying about putting food on the table, worrying about our parents, worrying about our children. And so that's why men are more prone to heart attacks, because we bottle so much up in our chest and don't know how to release it and don't have healthy, safe spaces to release it, that then the symptoms are a health condition like a heart attack. And so it's just an important topic just to bring up and to start to explore, and for both men and women to have a healthy, you know, perspective on. I don't typically focus so much on men in particular because I think we all struggle with the same stuff. But when we were, you know, you and I and Janet were discussing what might be a good topic for a show, you know, right now, I think that this is a topic that could use a little bit of attention, ranging from us as adult men to younger men, like, you know, people like your sons, for example. Right. So I know, you know, a lot of those younger men who are used to having a social life and school or work, you know, they might not have had enough time to get to know themselves yet. So they don't even have the tools. And then here they are just all the doors are shut and they're stuck with themselves for the first mm-hmm. time in their life at a young age, which is can be very overwhelming, you know?
Yeah, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking about some of the things that, at least for, you know, my generation, some of the things that we were told. And one that keeps jumping out at me is, as a child, showing emotion and being told, stop that or I'll give you something to cry about. I mean, think about how ridiculous that statement is, but yet, you know, I think anyone, any male in my generation probably had that said to them. And I'm not in any way, you know, attacking my father or stepfather or anybody, but that was the way. That was a normal statement for a father to relate to us. And I think the other thought is, and especially also now with there's so many people out of work and everything, is that it was put on our shoulders that the way in which you provide for your family is how you're measured as a man. And I think now if you take that and you put, you know, millions of people out of work, now how is that affecting our, you know, our self-esteem? How are we feeling about ourselves if we've lumped so much on our shoulders to do that, and then all of a sudden it's taken away? So what's your thoughts on that as to how men of any age can deal with that and know that we're a lot more than that?
Well, first of all, my heart, you know, goes out to, there are a lot of people and a lot of men struggling with that right now. And I think it's a silent battle for a lot of men, yeah. You know, and women, but because we're talking about men today. So, you know, my thoughts and my prayers are with anybody who's listening that's in, you know, that situation. And I think the single most important thing to talk about is that you've got to start talking about what's going on for you, because if you just shove it and keep doing that, keep that habit alive, and then a lot of us, you know, will turn to eating too much or drinking too much alcohol or smoking too much, it doesn't make, you know, the problem any better. And so I think for, you know, with my work with men, I think me being open and being vulnerable often sets an example or a tone that's like, okay, this guy, he's strong, he's cool, I like him, but his heart's open, he's being real. And I think that some men just have never had that in their life because of their fathers and the men they grew up around. And then, you know, when you're in high school and college, you're, you know, as a younger guy, you know, you want to be a guy's guy. You want to be accepted. You want to belong. And that's one of the single most destructive tendencies, is that you betray yourself and you reject yourself in order to be accepted by other people at different stages in your life. So for any of the men who might be listening to this, the most important thing is that you accept yourself, and accepting yourself means accepting what you're feeling and opening up and being vulnerable about it. And all so many issues that, you know, arise, for example, in relationships come back to us not knowing how to express ourselves very effectively. So your partner needs you to be open. You know, your children need you to be open because they see and feel everything that you're going through. And in a lot of cases, they want to be there for you. They want to understand you, but we just don't know how to let them in, and we don't know how to talk about what we're feeling. And so key phrases are to just be able to say, you know, I'm feeling really confused right now, or I'm feeling scared, or I'm feeling worried. You know, I feel concerned. I feel powerless. And then the beautiful thing that starts to happen when you start to just express those truths out into the world, it actually helps you to get unstuck. And then you give more space to be a bit more solution-minded. Because if you're stuck with that feeling, it can be paralyzing. But once you start to get that feeling out and you start to move it, space opens up, ideas open up, possibilities open up to go find different kinds of work, to find different types of opportunity. You might have an idea on, you know, a product you could create or a service you could offer. But until you get out what's in your heart and what's burdening your mind, it's like, there's a quote I love, that one cloud is enough to eclipse the whole sun. So one emotion that you're not talking about can block the whole sun, can block all that possibility, all that strength, all your intelligence that you have really to be resourceful, because we are pretty resourceful and resilient when we're not beating ourselves up.
You know, I love that, because I think another thing that sort of become common for many of us, possibly since the beginning of time, but it is to complain about your work. You know, there are a lot of people complain about your work. Well, this is the time. I love what you talked about with the cloud. Is first deal with your vulnerabilities, deal with the things that are bothering you, make yourself vulnerable, talk to people. And when the cloud goes away, all of a sudden you may find that creativity that was hiding because you were doing the same job that you didn't like over and over, and that creativity to do something that you actually love. You know, I have a friend right now that has gone back to his writing because his other job is not providing the income because of COVID. And so he went back to his writing. He's as happy as he's been, you know, in the last 10 years because the creativity is coming out. You can see it. Anyway, it's a wonderful thing. So I love the way that you touched on that. And it was something else you said that led me to another thought, which is you said that, you know, well, for the men that are listening, and I thought, you know, when I was told the demographics of this show, I was told that we have a higher percentage of females listening. So my thought is that after you listen, sit down with your significant other, because you might be uncomfortable with trying to tell this man that you love that you want him to be vulnerable to you, you know, and things like that. But maybe listening to it coming from Blake, he'll feel a little more comfortable. So maybe what you need to do is to sit down with him and go, or just recommend it. Hey, here, why don't you check this out?
Absolutely. And coming from that perspective, I think, you know, for women who are listening and want to be there for the men in their life, whether it's a partner or a child or a sibling, is that these three questions are the most important questions. They are, what are you feeling? What do you need? And what do you want? Because a lot of men don't even know what they're feeling. They don't even know what they need. They don't even know what they want. They're just on autopilot trying to survive, trying to provide. They're dealing with all these subconscious thoughts and emotions, and it's a little reactive, and they're really doing their best. Even if you think their best is not good enough, they're still doing their best. So that's how you help them have clarity, is what do you feel, what do you need, and what do you want? And when they answer, don't try and fix it. I would just let them express, let them just open up. That's the only, so you ask, it's like you push the button by asking and then let it just come out, and don't try and fix it and don't try and filter it. And you'll be amazed at what comes out of people when you ask those three questions. And the other thing that came to mind practically, Alan, when you were talking was to, you know, for the men who are listening or for the women who want to be there for the men in their lives, I think practically, you know, we can go talk to a priest. We can go talk to a rabbi. We can, because sometimes we don't feel safe. You know, there's a lot of dynamics at home with a partner, for example. So we don't feel safe maybe sometimes, you know, expressing yet all of our insecurities or our vulnerabilities. So for men, we need to go find a safe place. And that was an important part of my journey as a man, you know, away from my family, away from my peers, just someone who's objective. I've got nothing to lose, nothing to gain with this person. So I could just be raw and vulnerable and then walk out the door. And that was this safe place for me to process those emotions. So I would encourage, you know, see a therapist. You know, there's a lot of telemedicine now. You know, you can get someone on the phone, yeah, any kind of health practitioner. There's even text therapy now on your phone. You can have a therapist text you throughout the day. There are so many resources, and, like, you know, I like to keep things practical. And so anything that helps us as men keep our thoughts and emotions moving instead of internalizing them and then reverting to self-destructive behavior is very effective.
I love that. Now, generally speaking, why are we so far behind women in these areas?
Well, I think that it's socially more acceptable and has been socially more acceptable for women to talk about their emotions. Whereas, you know, as men in our, you know, social upbringing, so first we start with our fathers, who typically don't have a lot of emotional intelligence. There are rare few, but they're the minority. So our first templates of men is, you know, there's really typically not a lot of emotional awareness or communication at all, or not healthy examples. Then we go to school, and a lot of us just want to fit in or just not be bullied or not be ridiculed. And so we end up keeping in a lot of what we feel and really who we really are just to survive. And So those are very self-destructive habits that stick with us, you know, throughout our lives. And then as men, you know, we tend more towards sports or towards thinking, towards being logical. So when you're not in your emotions and you're not in your heart, you're more in your head, which means you're more in your thoughts and more in logic and rationale, and you become disconnected to the emotional life, which is why men and women don't connect on in so many ways at times, because men are trying to be very rational, logical about everything, but women are feeling something that the men are also feeling, but the men are disconnected from it. And women crave a man who's connected to those feelings so they feel met. And the truth is that us as men, we actually crave that too. We just don't realize it for a long time. We tend to just, you know, we're just trying to survive. We're trying to fit in. We're trying to fit the role, the model of what a strong, successful man looks like. Or we've turned in on ourselves and we're so ashamed of ourselves and feel so unworthy that we've just totally shut down. So that's the other side. It's kind of we're either proud or we're ashamed. But the middle, right, the middle road is having your heart open, being honest, being vulnerable, being human, doing your best. You have these strengths, you have these weaknesses. And so it's just, I think there's not a lot of male examples. And I think the other thing, I think we talked about this actually in our first interview when a woman had called in and asked about her young son. And I brought up the topic of initiation. You know, in our culture, we don't have healthy forms of initiation. And I think even COVID right now and what we're going through in the world is a huge cultural social initiation, because this is an unprecedented time that is analogous to world wars, you know, major world changing events that some generations have not really experienced. And I think this is an initiation that's happening both in the developed world and in the underdeveloped world, where we're having to face hardships that force us to find a strength that we haven't previously been in touch with, because we've kind of been coasting on the privilege that we've had from all the, you know, the wealth and capitalism and consumerism. And then all of a sudden we've all kind of hit a wall where we've got to look at some things that we weren't looking at. And So I think that there are so many factors, but the main thing is that as a man, we need to come back and realize that my feelings matter. Yeah. My needs matter. And my calling matters. My sense of purpose matters, because the truth is that's how I'm going to be healthy and happy, selfishly, because I need to be. But that's actually how I'm going to be the best for the people I love, for my children, for my partner, for my family. And so in the same way that there's the archetype of the martyr of a woman, you know, who takes care of the family and neglects herself to be there for everybody else, because as men, we don't talk about this a lot, both men and women don't realize that we as men do the exact same thing. We're playing a role that a lot of women don't understand, and we also feel unappreciated. We feel unappreciated for all the sacrifices we make, for the way we orient our whole mission in life, either to make money or to provide or to be strong for everybody. A lot of men carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, and we feel unappreciated, and we never talk about it, just like women feel that way. Right. And so we're all struggling with the same thing. If we would just learn how to sit down and open up about all these deep, dark things, we would realize we're on the same page, and how can we understand each other and support each other and appreciate each other and then move forward in a healthy way that acknowledges and values one another, you know? Yeah. And this is a conversation I think we need to have more of.
So. Definitely. In fact, what I hear you saying, I mean, it's all about communication. It's all about open and authentic communication, not the gloss over it and try to move on real quick.
Right.
Now, you touched a little bit upon purpose there, and I know that in your book you go into it in greater detail, but talk a little bit more about why is being clear about one's purpose critical to men's mental health and every relationship they're involved in?
I think, you know, if I start first personally, you know, we talked about my path the first time we met. You know, I was addicted to drugs and alcohol at a young age, hit rock bottom. And at 18, just all I wanted to do was heal and figure out my purpose in life. And I knew instinctually that my purpose in life was not about making money, was not about material success, that that didn't bring happiness, which is a belief that we all struggle with, especially in today's culture. And so what I found is that I really, to be my best for myself and for the people around me, I needed to have a North Star. I needed to have a true North. I personally needed to understand my place in the world and what I felt to be my purpose for living, so that I could orient my entire life around that. So that became part of my core value system. And I think this goes back to, for example, an educational system that doesn't really teach people to think for themselves. And so then a lot of people end up just doing what they think they should do, right? So as a man, I should get the degree. I should get the highest salary, right? And then that becomes the true north. But that's a very insecure and unstable true north, which then comes full circle to what you said even about right now with COVID, because think about how much power some of us have given over to these ideas or to a corporation because we thought that they would take care of us, when in reality, a lot of these corporations don't really care about you, and they'll drop you if they have to without even thinking about it, right? So having a very clear North Star for me was very important. And then I read a study recently that said the single most influential factor in happiness is feeling that you have the personal power to choose, that you're in control of your life to some degree. Okay. And that's really freedom to be able to do kind of what you want, when you want, how you want, that's the highest factor correlated, the strongest correlated factor to happiness. And so because we don't ask these deeper questions and we give over our power basically for a paycheck and a false sense of security often, because we've been sold kind of a worldview that is a carpet that often can get ripped out from underneath us, we don't necessarily feel connected to the universe, or if you have a faith, to a very deep sense of faith that's going to guide you in a way where your relationship to work in that regard is healthy and happy and constructive instead of destructive and toxic. So again, you can make a living, you can be practical, but again, it all comes back to not knowing how to honor what you're feeling. Because if you don't know how to talk about your feelings and your needs and your desires, it means specifically if we talk in terms of men, we're disconnected from our instinct. We have a basic instinct. And society has conditioned a lot of men away from that basic instinct. And when you follow that instinct, you actually learn to trust yourself. And the more you learn to trust yourself, the more confident you are. The more confident you are, the more you can go out into the world and not need to do what everybody else is doing. Not be controlled by the status quo, but maybe start your own business or your own entity that becomes far more profitable than you could ever have achieved working under someone because you were just doing the status quo. What was expected of you by society, by your parents, by what everybody else was doing. But if we don't learn to think for ourselves, and I think learning to think for yourself is very much connected to asking, what am I doing here on the planet? What is the purpose of my life? And if you're going to be the male energy that protects and holds space for your family, you got to have that true north. Just like the captain of a ship is always looking at the stars and following his compass, right? Because that's how you navigate those waters, those stormy waters when they come, because you always know where your true north is. And so when we don't have that connection, we're just blown around. And then we don't want to talk about it because we're ashamed of the fact that we feel powerless and out of control and overwhelmed by the storms of life. But for me, it's that true north that even if I get knocked down, I get up, I look back at my true north, and I know what direction to keep going. And that's like that saying, you know, you get knocked down 7 times, but you have to get up 8. And so, we keep getting up, but we need to know what direction to go in. So you don't have a direction if you don't have a clear answer in your heart about your purpose.
Exactly. I love it. We're speaking with Blake D. Bauer. His international best-selling book is You Were Not Born to Suffer. We're going to take a break in a minute, but Blake, one of the things that you mentioned when you talked about we're constantly doing what we should. And in a conversation that I had with a friend where I was talking about some of the mistakes that I had made in the past, And I said, what I realized was I kept shooting on myself. And I needed to stop shooting on myself and start focusing on my purpose. So, yes, I love it. And again, we're going to take a break, but when we come right back, I want to ask you, what's the healthiest mindset for men in terms of success in today's world? So again, for everybody out there, we'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. We're talking with Blake D. Bauer, and our topic today is men's emotional health and healing, but we're talking about a lot more than that. When we went to break, I asked Blake the question, what's a healthy mindset for men in terms of success in today's world?
Alan, thank you. I think it's such an important question. So, and again, I'm sure you can relate, you know, as a young man trying to find my way in the world, I had to dissect all these confused beliefs that I had about what success really was. And one common theme that a lot of us struggle with and believe for most of our lives is that success is synonymous with material wealth and, you know, making money, lots of money, and achieving big things in the world. And I personally grew up around a lot of people who chased that idea and at the same time were drug addicts and very self-destructive. And in their pursuit of wealth, for whatever was the driving reason, they destroyed themselves and they destroyed their families. And so I had these conflicting ideas and experiences growing up. But in my heart, I knew that money and material external success was not the key to actually feeling successful. But I didn't understand, well, what was the key to feeling successful? And eventually, after a lot of years of trying to answer that question, for me, I boiled it down to the concept of self-respect. Because I think it doesn't matter what you achieve in the world, you have to be able to look in the mirror in the morning or at night, you know, or when you put your head on your pillow at night, you wake up in the morning, and you have to respect yourself for the person you are. And where does self-respect really come from? I think it comes from integrity. What does integrity mean? It means you're honest about what you're feeling. You're honest about what you need and what you want, instead of saying one thing and doing another. And if you hurt and you let down the people around you, how can you respect yourself? Or like the biblical saying, you know, you gain the world, but you sell your soul. Can you respect yourself? So let's say you go out and you make all this money and you have all this material success, but you don't have great relationships and you don't have people in your life that you really care about and appreciate, and thus they care and appreciate about you, appreciate you. Instead, you've got resentment or isolation, or you're cold and you're mean. And so when you start to break it down, I think you get to this point where you realize that everything really comes back to self-respect. And I think that's how we die. We leave this world with no regret. And I think that brings me back to another concept of what success is, you know, what's your legacy, right? When you think about your sons, right? Like, what legacy am I leaving my sons? You know, what example am I setting? What am I teaching them is a healthy way to be a man in the world? What way am I teaching them to be a healthy partner, you know, a healthy husband, a healthy father? And so to me, legacy and self-respect come together. So if you don't respect yourself, your legacy is going to have that tainted energy to it, or that tainted memory to that. And you're going to know in your heart. And so I think we need to reframe success in terms of self-respect. And so, do I respect myself for who I am and how I am? And I think the other topic I just want to touch on is that because we've never learned how to express our emotions and communicate in a healthy way, we tend to bottle things up and then react and come off as very insensitive, angry, uncompassionate. And then you can't respect yourself when you are being mean. You can't respect yourself when you're being cold. You can't. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but you know, I want to swear on it. You know, you can't respect yourself if you're being an asshole. You know, yeah. And nobody around you is going to respect you or really love you when you push people away like that. And then the irony is that because we never learned how to express ourselves, and we keep it in. Every time we keep in our emotions, we actually hurt ourselves, and that's where all our anger issues come from. We're not angry at the world. We're not angry at everybody else. We're angry at ourselves because we don't know how to express ourselves. We don't know how to love ourselves and be true to ourselves. And we can blame it and say, you know, my parents didn't teach me. It was their fault. Or our school didn't teach me. It's their fault. Or my church or my synagogue or, you know, my religious upbringing didn't teach me. It's their fault. But at what point as a man do we take personal responsibility and say, I never learned this skill set, just like if you didn't learn accounting, but I know to have a good business, I need to understand this, so I need to go figure this out. At what point do we say, I need to figure out how to communicate in a healthy, effective way, because I can see that my relationships are breaking down or are non-existent, or I'm drinking too much every night, or I'm getting high too much every night, I'm self-destructive. What, you know, how bad does it have to get before we do that? So self-respect, it all circles back to understanding what we're feeling, what we need, what we want, learning how to communicate it in a kind, honest, vulnerable way so that we can respect ourselves and take these steps every day that lead to more self-respect, because we're building a life that reflects who we really are, that's coming from our passion, from our purpose, instead of from fear and just conforming and, you know, just doing what everybody else is doing. Because typically, where does that get you, right? We always typically feel like we got the short end of the stick. When you kind of do what you think you should, when you should on yourself, you think, I did everything that I thought was right. I did everything I was supposed to do. How did I end up here? And that's because we've given too much power over to these ideas that are not healthy for us. And we've listened to everybody else except for ourselves.
Well, we have a listener question that has come in. And again, I want to take this time to thank those. I really appreciate it. When you send in the questions, we will always get to them. Or if not, we would put them on the site and I would contact the guest to do it. But fortunately, we have the time. And this one reads, my son who lives in California is recently divorced with two teens that he is supporting entirely by himself. What is really distressing is that his business has been devastated by the lockdown, and I can feel he is not okay emotionally. We, his parents, are in Florida, and because of my husband's recent cancer treatment, we're having to self-quarantine, or I would bring the boys here with us. You know, I know that this story is like so many others that might be going through this at this time, but we feel so helpless in this situation to help our son. You know, what advice can you give us? And this is from Naomi.
Okay. Hi, Naomi. First of all, I'm so sorry to hear about, you know, obviously the whole situation, and it's not an easy situation. Unfortunately, there's no pill, right? And there's no quick fix for this, but I think just showing up for your son as a friend is probably a healthy thing that you can do, just checking on him, asking if there's anything you can do. Because you obviously, as a mother, you want to fix it for him, right? But you can't fix this for him. But well, I think just being a safe place, you know, for him emotionally, you know, and that, you know, that's why, right, a lot of men, as men, we talk like a lot of our female partners will say all of our issues as men go back to our relationship with our mother, which there's a lot of truth. So being a safe, loving, supportive space for his heart while he's going through this, I think if you guys have that, then he's going to reach out when he needs you, you know, or just to talk, you know, he will eventually reach out. And then like Alan mentioned, maybe you could send him this recording. My book is very helpful. There's a lot of great resources, you know, out there for men, you know, which maybe we can put on a website or something and recommend, and maybe encouraging him to talk to someone, you know, about what he's going through, maybe a therapist or some kind of health professional, so he just doesn't keep it all in. You know, it's not an easy situation. And I think, again, it comes back to, it doesn't matter what age we're at, I think this theme of initiation is relevant. And there will be a purpose to what, there's a purpose to what we're all going through, like looking at climate change, looking at social justice, looking at who we elect to be the leader of the free world. These are all major themes. And personally, a lot of people, like you mentioned, your friend, are reevaluating where they've investing their time and how they're making a living. And so I think the other thing, Naomi, that I would encourage you is to trust, have some faith that he's capable, that he will find a way, you know, and it sounds like, you know, he's life already. And we all have setbacks. There are always going to be setbacks. And then he will get back up. And I'm sure, you know, we were talking about legacy. I'm sure he loves his children. I'm sure he wants to show them that he's strong. And so he'll, even if he doesn't love himself enough, typically this is very common in parents. If we don't do something because we don't love ourselves enough, but we love our children so much that we do it for them. And so I trust that he'll find the strength and he'll be able to find a way forward and find a solution because of his love for his children, just like I'm sure, Naomi, you've been through dark days, but you got out of bed and you've been there for your family and you're there for your husband right now because you love them so much. And that's your purpose in life. So we got to, that gives us faith. That's the other reason I think having that sense of purpose is so important, is because it's very much connected to our faith and trust in life.
Yeah. And I'm sure one of his main purposes is to be a father. And I think, Naomi, the other thing to add, you might be listening to this through one of the audio outlets, but we're also doing it on Zoom, so it's on YouTube and Facebook Live, so it's on something visually also, which means you can use that same platform to talk to him, to help him. One of the things that, you know, 20 years ago, that wasn't an option in a situation like this, to where you can have Zoom family meetings on Sundays. You know, and, you know, or something like that. So there's still things that you can do, even if you're quarantined in Florida, you know, you can still let him know that you love him, that you care, and let the grandchildren know, you know, put them on also. If they're teens, they probably know how to work it better than the rest of us. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's still plenty of ways to show strength in family.
Alan, you prompted one quick thought I just wanted to share.
Please.
And as a mother, this is a common theme for mothers. Mothers tend to worry a lot and worry more than men do, actually. And so this is a big lesson for a lot of women I have found, is that every time you're inclined to worry, try and turn that thought into a prayer, because that energy you send towards your son, you don't want to send fear his way. And expect, you know, a lot of us do disaster thinking. You know, we think the worst is going to happen, but that actually never helps ever. It cannot help the situation. So I highly recommend every time you, for your health and your sanity, and then also it's the best thing for him. Every time you find yourself worrying and afraid and thinking the worst thing, just turn it into a prayer that, you know, I want my son to be healthy and happy. I want life for you, the universe, or if you have a religion, if you want, you know, God to look after him, to take care of him, take care of your grandchildren. Please send him opportunities. You know, please send him the support that he needs. So every time you're worrying, try and turn the worry into a prayer. And it's very powerful for you and powerful for him. And it actually will shift the dynamic for you both. You know, he's your son. You brought him into the world. You're very connected. And that worry actually is not healthy for either of you.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. In fact, I just wrote it down because I think it is something that we don't think about enough, about just that one thing. If it does no more than take a negative focus and turning it into something positive because you're now expressing what it is that you want. I love it. And going on the basis of, we're talking about her son and they have young men. You talk in the book about young men, you know, accepting themselves more, and something that this generation has to deal with a lot more than, say, mine did. In mine, being socially accepted involved a handful of people. It involved my neighborhood or my school, and that was my world at that age as a young man. And then as you get older, you slowly work into expanding that role and expanding what your belief is to be socially accepted. All that's changed. And so let's talk a little bit about, with young men, it's dumped on them at an incredibly young age that socially acceptable can mean millions. I mean, that's a lot of weight to put on anybody. And I know you talk about it in the book. Share a little bit about not only, you know, why that's happening, but what they can do to pull away from that.
Well, I think obviously for our listeners here, they're likely the parents of the children. And so just carrying on the same thing we've been discussing, and this is for all children, both boys and girls, is asking that question, you know, what's going on for you? What are you feeling? What do you need? You know, what do you want? What are you feeling called towards? Because that's where their inner strength and sense of self is going to come from, is being in touch with their emotions, being in touch with their needs, having a safe place to be themselves. So because on social media and in peer groups, we often feel like we have to be something or be someone else to fit in or to please everybody or be cool or get attention or get this girl's attention or get this guy's attention or live up to the physical expectations of filters on social media. My body's got to look like this and my makeup has to look like this. And so that's all morphing yourself, trying to please other people, what their idea of, you know, what other people's ideas of what is cool or attractive or interesting. And so we all need a place where we're 100% safe to be ourselves. So I would say try and create that environment for your child where they can open up and tell you everything that they're thinking and feeling. And again, just like we were talking about going to your male partner and saying, what do you feel? What do you need? What do you want? Ask your children, you know, so what's going on for you? What are you feeling? Can you articulate it? What do you think you need right now? So that with you, with the parent, it's this strong, safe place where they can be themselves, they can be open, and they don't feel, and because typically we do the same thing with our parents a lot when it's unconscious, is we try and please them. We try and be a certain way with them, either to get their love or affection or not to be screamed at or criticized. And so that's actually a microcosm of the dysfunction that's happening socially. And so as a parent, if a child doesn't feel safe with you, they're going to seek approval and acceptance socially more so. Whereas at home, if they feel strong and they feel they can be themselves, they won't need as much approval and attention from outside sources. So this, I think, is the awareness and the practicality that you can do at home. And then obviously, if you read, there's obviously a lot of research on not giving your kids social media too soon, you know, not giving them iPhones and iPads too soon. For some people listening, it's too late. Obviously, you know, you've already crossed that threshold. But if you have very young children, obviously, I would do some research around how, you know, technology is affecting brain development. And a lot of doctors are, you know, saying they won't even give their children technology until much later in life. There was a documentary that came out on Netflix recently called The Social Dilemma. I highly recommend it.
Me too.
Yeah. And these are a lot of ex-executives from the top social media companies talking about how they won't let their children touch these phones and iPads and social media because they've been designed to manipulate human behavior almost basically towards advertising. And advertising plays on you're not good enough. You need more. You need to buy this to be attractive. You need to buy this to be liked. You need to buy this to be smart. And So it's just good to be aware of this conversation so that you can help your child understand that, no, they don't need that to be beautiful. And by being themselves, they can be beautiful. And in fact, being yourself is the most important path to beauty and to finding true love and true friendship. And so I keep coming back to that. It doesn't have to be complicated.
No, and that's beautiful. And I'm glad that you brought up Social Dilemma. In fact, we could probably do a whole show on just commenting on how the Social Dilemma situation could benefit. But again, for everybody out there, it's on Netflix. I don't have stock in Netflix, folks, but go see it. Trust me. It is something that will help your life, and you will understand that there are forces out there trying to be divisive on purpose because they're making more money from it. And we have a comment that came in, and I'm looking, and we've got like 30 seconds. So this one reads, one day my wife turned to me and said, aren't you tired of being so unhappy all the time? I just stared at her and then blurted out, God, yes. It says, I know it sounds simplistic, but actually saying the words out loud was amazing. All the fear of not being successful or not meeting someone's expectations was what we men, especially, never want to admit. Everything shifted that day as the communication broke open and has stayed open. After your last interview with Alan, I bought your book, and it says, Sarah and I both agree. It explains to our friends what we were all experiencing. Great book, great message. Thank you from Tom in Oregon.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. I'm so happy to hear that you guys had that opening together.
Yeah. So, Blake, the time has just flown by. thank you so much. And I really just want to acknowledge you because you were taking on a subject that I think that we all, and not just in relation to men, but just mindfulness in general. So we've mentioned the book, but if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what is some of the best ways they can do that?
Well, my website is unconditional-selflove.com. And then I'm on, you know, Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. And then I really encourage people to check out You Were Not Born to Suffer, the book, because it's mm-hmm. cheap and it's effective. And, you know, it's helped now tens of thousands of people in you know, dozens of countries because it's effective. It's practical. It's no BS. So,
yeah. And I highly recommend it. And also, for those of you, if you're driving and you're going, wait, I can't write all this stuff down, we're going to put everything on the Answers for the Family website. So it will be there. You can get all the information on how to get the book and how to get a hold of Blake. Blake, thank you so much once again for coming on. And I look forward to us getting together soon.
Oh, Alan, thank you so much.
All right. You like that? The timing, huh? There. I swore I turned that off. And for everybody out there, please tune in next Monday when we're joined by Cynthia A. Fisher for a conversation about how hospital patients are getting slammed with huge bills for COVID-19, for testing, for treatment, and for so many other things. How medication prices have skyrocketed, and she's going to talk about more medication price transparency, the challenges of telemedicine, and so much more. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show. Have it sent directly to you every week through iTunes, through iHeartRadio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, and SoundCloud. We're also on Facebook Live. If you do Facebook Live or YouTube, you actually get to see us as well as listen to us. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. So for everybody out there, be good human beings, take a deep breath, become a little more mindful, and have a great week, and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.